She phones, records play,
singles, albums,
LP records,
phonograph,
gold records on the wall.
I am a DJ, I am what I play.
Time to play B-side.
Come on and dance in there by the record machine.
Jukebox music.
Jukebox,
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 played by the DJ.
Goes the last DJ.
Crackle, crackle.
Today on The Vinyl Experience, a conversation with recording engineer Mario McNulty about the new David Bowie album, The Next Day. He turned the knobs and knows the inside track on one of the best-kept secrets in the music business. I'm Paul Capelcante, and this is The Vinyl Experience.
Sculptures of them, then drags them to the river's bank and the court. The soggy paper bunnies rush ashore in the dark.
This is The Vinyl Experience. I'm Paul Capelcante, and I am joined today by Mario McNulty, who is part of the crack team that made the crack comeback record of the year. These are professionals at work. They're not kidding around. And so far, this David Bowie album has proven to be one of the strongest of his substantial 45-year career, which is a huge feather in your cap as somebody who just happened to be having lunch and the phone rang and it's Bowie and, hey, why don't you record my record? You know, so that's pretty good.
It was pretty cool, yeah. Of course, it wasn't as if Tony actually asked me. He was kind of like, so, yeah, we're doing the, you know, get ready for the next Bowie record. He kind of knows me well enough to know that there isn't really much question. I'm definitely going to be saying yes. Let's put it that way.
So let's spin more of this LP. Want to choose another song that you like and to give us a little backstory on it?
Sure. I think we should go with the second single, and that is "The Stars Are Out Tonight."
That one makes my head spin. That song is an assault of imagery coming through sound. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. I was thrilled by that song.
I'm glad you say that, because that was always, and that's why I'm choosing this song, that was always one of my favorite songs from the huge batch of songs that we recorded. And I think I even said to David that should be the first single. I thought that might be the first single, and it ended up being the second. But that was from the very start, even from its bare bones of just the raw band playing that song. I thought it was a genius track.
Let's
it was amazing.
Let's strip it down in that way, because it has such a groove. So how did that begin? Who sets that tempo, sort of, or that agenda musically, that this is the river that it's going to flow on, and jump on and paddle as fast as you can? How did that all fall together?
Well, as in most songs that are being recorded for David, there's a process where most of the time he has a good idea already happening with the demo. He makes his own demos and writes at home. He'll bring in music for the band. Sometimes if there's something complex, he'll have either Jerry or Tony deal with charts or if that's necessary. But the band will learn his demo. And David usually actually has a very good idea about this is the feel, this is the groove, this is the tempo. There aren't a lot of mysteries in terms of that.
When you first heard "The Stars Are Out Tonight" demo, was it really close to the record that we got?
I actually can't quite remember exactly what it sounded like. Mostly because at that point, I think you have to understand, for my job as the engineer, I'm actually quite busy at that point. It's something where Tony, as a producer, is really focused in on that. I'm involved in so many things technically at that point that I'm not really listening to their demo that much. They may be in the room learning it, but I've got another thousand things going on.
You're listening to what it's made of more so. Your concern is, I've got to get this mic a little bit further back from this, or I've got to mix this a different
way. Yeah, there's a lot of that, and there's a lot of, like, I need to know the tempo. I need to know a few things like that. It's more kind of logistical at that point in getting those things set, and of course making sure that the mics are correct for that song and the snares are correct and all that stuff.
Stars around tonight.
So the band played, you know, a straightforward instrumental version of the track with a Bowie guide vocal, or just as...
I don't think he had quite completely finished lyrics at that point. So, but yes, they were all guide vocals because, yeah, he finished the lyrics later with Tony. So, or at Tony's studio. So at that point it was a guide vocal, but the track was what you hear in terms of the actual core band, the bass, the guitars, the rhythm, the drums. That was all happening and all there. And the energy in that was fantastic. I mean, it was a real driving feeling. And Jerry's guitar part and matched with Gail's bass part, it just really sings. It really works well. So it was an exciting to hear it on playback and think, wow, this is really...
The basic track,
even
because then it flew away and you had nothing to do with it. And then Tony comes back, however, you know, whatever period afterwards, and it's this finished, polished thing, and it's got other punch-ins that have been laid on top weren't part of the original session. It's got Bowie's complete vocal. It's got, you know, the veneer is on it.
Yeah. We did a fair amount of overdubs on the track, and I can't remember exactly. And then, of course, they went away with it. Added things, most importantly, like final vocals, backing vocals, and strings. And so hearing that was just fantastic. And the track just got to where I wanted it to be, because I thought it was always one of my favorite songs in the album. So,
well, not only is it a great groove track, but it also has something interesting to say. When does Bowie not have something interesting to say? But this is kind of oblique. And at the same time, he seems to be suggesting that we're in this place as people that's kind of fated, and that we need to be open to that and to embrace that and to look up and to see that the stars do really rule our world and our lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you can't beat them, join them.
For better or for worse,
you know, you better go with it. Because
interesting take, yeah. I don't usually get, just on a personal level, and this isn't just David, it's kind of just in general, I don't get too wrapped up in what the meaning is, actually. I'll kind of take it and make my own kind of meaning out of it, in a sense. I'm not sure if you know what I mean, but it's kind of like, I even heard David say a similar thing about Scott Walker once. He was in the Scott Walker documentary there. They're talking to David, and they're saying, what do you think Scott Walker means about this song? And his lyrics can be pretty avant-garde as well, and maybe out of left field. And David said, I don't really know, and I'm not sure I want to know. And I kind of have that same mentality, kind of just in a general purpose overall. I mean, of course, sometimes you hear lyrics that are a little bit more poignant than others. But on this song, I'm not sure exactly what he means, because I haven't asked him. I'll never ask him, probably. That's a really interesting take on what you said.
How far into the session did this particular song come along? I mean, had you done a few things already? And
it was early on, actually.
It was early on.
Fairly early on, yeah. It was, I don't remember which exact number it was in terms of... But it was on the first batch of sessions. I do remember that.
So some nice momentum built from this point, because you really had a keeper in the can early in the game.
Well, I certainly thought so. I mean, David is the one making all the choices on that. I mean, you never really know which ones he's going to keep or put to the side and say, well, I'm not going to be finishing that song or something like that.
Let's talk about some more songs from the record. Just pick some of your favorites or things that have stories behind them that we might be able to, you know, kind of work with.
Let's see here. Let me look at the actual list of songs. Let's go to the last song, Heat. I'll bring that up because that's also one of my favorite songs on the album. The story to that is just that it was so perfectly kind of this dark David Bowie track that just fit him perfectly. Again, another song that, who else is going to pull off a song like this in that way? And as we started to layer the tracks, I remember we had David Torn coming in to do some additional dubs on these tracks, and he was part of the live tracking as well, but since his setup is so sophisticated, sometimes we'd say, all right, let's spend an afternoon with Torn doing some overdubs specifically on the song. And his parts were just, I mean, it just like the track just kept building and building, and it just kept the tension, but it never breaks. It just, there's tension throughout the entire song. And that was just incredible. I mean, it still is one of my favorites on the song, on the album.
Energy of this record is pretty high, despite the initial single release, which was the song, yes, Where Are We Now, which a lot of people thought, oh boy, is David okay? Is that fair? Do you think that people had a kind of an odd reaction to the lower energy and the more thoughtful aspect of that song when it first came out?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, it certainly isn't your traditional sounding single, for sure. Of course, we knew that there was going to be a surprise on his birthday, and we knew all that, but I didn't know what the single was. And then when the single came out, I said, wow, okay, that's the first single. That's interesting. And it kind of made sense. It worked well. And really, only somebody like David can probably pull that off, really. I can't see anybody else doing that sort of a thing. It is a very... It's a bit of a somber track, but it's also got this kind of hint of the avant-garde going on, and his lyrics are personal and special, and it's, but yeah, at the same time, it's not your standard single. It's not, you know, four on the floor. It's certainly not what's on top 40 right now.
It's very sad. It's very contemplative. It seems like he is grieving for a world that we can't touch anymore. And it seems like there's a kind of a haunted quality that he's going over a lot of turf that he used to know that used to be so, you know, palpable, which is now kind of ghostly. And, mm-hmm. and that's how this, and the image that you see in the video is ghostly too, and it aligns with that.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me more about where are we now and your impressions and what insight you may have from David personally about that song.
Well, what you said is actually very good, but I mean, I think that it is. It's reflective, and it's there is kind of a sad quality to it. I never actually asked him directly about it, but one of the interesting things is that it was one of the rare songs that he had finished or nearly finished lyrics for, and early on in the process. And it was very interesting to hear that, because some of the stuff I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what he was actually talking about at first. And I had to find out what that was.
It seems he came in thinking this is the single. You know, this is what I've got to say. If I'm going to write a new standard,
well,
it's going to be this
song. Well,
that
might be the case. Yeah, I'm not sure. The interesting thing about that song is it sounds very much the way it did when we first recorded it. And that was pretty cool. Pretty cool. I mean, of course, it's now been... When I heard the mastered mixed version, it was very cool to hear it that way. But that was one of the few tracks that actually stayed very, very much the same throughout the process. There wasn't a lot of messing about with all, but it turned out fabulous. But the fact that it's the first single is a very clever thing by David, I think.
Well, where are we now? In a good place, because it's a place where David Bowie is active and relevant. It isn't just that he's out there plugging away. He took the necessary two steps back, you know, and went one giant step forward with the you know, with this album and with a world that really is welcoming him, because we have weighed our options during his absence, and we understand that a world with an
well
active
said.
David Bowie is not something to squander. It's like,
no,
come back, David,
that.
Just keep working, man. We really, you know, really need more music of this caliber. And you're a very lucky, more than just fly on the wall, Mario McNulty. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Had to get the train from Potsdamer Platz. You never knew that I could do that. Just walking the day. Sitting in the jungle, remember the Strasbourg. A man lost in time near Cardiff. Just walking the dead. Where are we now? Where are we now? 20,000 people, Crosby's and Booker. Fingers are crossed, just in case. Walking the dead. Where are we now? Where are we now? The moment you know, you know, you know. As long as there's sun, as long as there's sun, as long as there's rain, as long as there's rain, as long as there's fire, as long as there's fire, as long as
next on The Vinyl Experience, Mad Songs. The music from the penultimate season of Mad Men, which is now complete, and every episode has driven its point home with a particular song from the year in which that season takes place, 1968. A pivotal year in pop music, an extraordinary breadth of variety. Every song speaks for itself, needs no introduction. So let's just hear them, all played in the order they were released and used in this past season of Mad Men. If you're a fan of the show, you know how integral music is to the storytelling. And if you don't watch the show, the songs still speak for themselves and the unique time they came from.
Yes, I think I'm going out of my head. Over you, over you. I want you to want me. I need you so badly. I can't think of anything but you. And I think I'm going out of my head, 'cause I can't explain the tears I shed over you, over you. I see you each morning. You just walk past me. You don't even know that I exist. I'm going out of my head over you. Why my being shy should keep us apart. I want you to want me. I need you so badly.
Forget you when there is
always something there to remind me. Always something there to remind me.
I was born to love you, and I will never be free. You'll always be a part of me. Whoa, 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 whoa. Shadows fall, I pass the small cafe where we would dance at night. And I can't help recalling how it felt to kiss and hold you tight. Oh, how can I forget you when there is
always something there to remind me. Always something there to remind me.
I was born to love you, and I will never be free. You'll always be a part of me. Whoa, 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 whoa. Should find me, miss the sweet and tender love we used to share. Just come back to the places where we used to go, and I'll be there. Oh, how can I forget you
when there is always something there to remind me. Always something there to remind me. I was born to love you, and I will never be free. You'll always be a part of me. Never love another, baby. I never will forget you, baby.
I can't resist temptation, thinking of your love so sweet. like a tree. I might as well be him. Like, oh, the way you're choking me. The sky's getting cloudy. There's a veil over my life. Somebody help me through the fog. They'll cut it with a knife. I don't know. I don't know.
Come on, Jamie, lift me up.
We'll go places, so take me for a while. But I know that your face is wearing automatic smile. The dream I painted on you should have been indelible ink. But it just washes off much faster than my eye can blink. I don't know,
and you miss me up.
Human in drag, without a heart you wander in your own private bag. And when I told you I loved you, and to you I was a slave, you said you speak of things not real, so kindly do behave. I don't know, I don't know.
Come on, Jean, you messed me up.
I don't know.
Honey, you know I did. But each time I tell myself that I wanna think of but it ain't right. and ice cream castles in the air, and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way.
Vinyl Experience. Judy Collins, Both Sides Now. Blue Sandalwood Soap, Friends I Haven't Met Yet. Janis Joplin, Peace of My Heart. Mamas and Papas, Words of Love. Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels, Baby Jane. Friend and Lover, Reach Out of the Darkness. Lou Johnson, Always Something There to Remind Me. Sergio Mendez, Going Out of My Head. And Paul Moriarty and his orchestra, Love is Blue. Mad Songs. There are more Vinyl Experience songs to discover in the archives at prn.fm and on demand at rtds.ca. Please like and share the Vinyl Experience on social media. Follow me on Twitter. I'm Paul Cavalcante.